This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. We're honored to have Representative Paul Stamm back with us on the program. Representative Stamm is an attorney based in Apex, North Carolina, who is currently serving in his eighth term in the North Carolina House of Representatives, representing the southern portion of Wake County, including Apex, Holly Springs, Fuquay-Varina, Willow Springs, and other communities. Over the years, Representative Stamm has held a variety of leadership positions in the State House, currently as Speaker pro tempore, but he recently announced that he will not be seeking re-election to the House in 2016. We're thrilled to have Representative Stamm back with us on Family Policy Matters to continue a discussion we began last week about his career in the North Carolina General Assembly and what's next for him following the conclusion of the 2016 legislative session. Representative Stamm, welcome back to Family Policy Matters.
Thank you, John.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your time in the General Assembly. Now, you were first elected to the North Carolina House in 1988, and you served one term at that time.
Then I was defeated many times.
Well,
but I came back.
I wasn't going to mention that.
But no, I want to mention that I have lost six elections, and I say that to encourage other people who may have lost an election or two to realize that it's not the end of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, persistence definitely pays off. And in your case, it absolutely has. Not only did you serve a term from 1989 to 1990, but then you were elected again in 2002, and you have served seven terms in the House since then. What led you initially to run for public office?
It's somewhat embarrassing. It was an accident. I was politically active. I was co-chairing Bill Coby's congressional campaign. I had served several years as chair of Wake County Right to Life and had put out lots of yard signs and mail for pro-life candidates of both parties, because in those days there were plenty of pro-life Democrats, unlike now. So I was known to the political community, but I did not have any thoughts of running for office. So I was sitting at my desk one day, and the state party chair called me up and asked me to file by noon so that I could be a placeholder. I could then, when they found a real candidate, I could withdraw, and they could put the real candidate on the ballot. So I did that. Didn't even tell my law partner, who was a very active Democrat, because he wasn't there, and I was going to get out shortly. So I went down and filed with about 5 minutes to go, but with a couple other minutes to go, someone else filed for the same office in Harnett County that I didn't know about, and the rule was if you had a primary, you couldn't withdraw. So I didn't mind withdrawing, but I sure wasn't going to lose, so that's how I started running for office.
That competitive spirit has served you well. As our listeners may know, you have served in the legislature as the chairman of multiple committees, as the House Majority Leader, and most recently as the Speaker pro tempore in the House. And by any measure, Representative Stamm, you have done a tremendous amount of work in the state legislature. As you look back over your career in the General Assembly, what do you feel have been your greatest accomplishments, and what have you been most proud of?
I'm going to limit it to those of particular interest to the pro-family community. There's plenty of other things about technical tax issues and poll attachments and, you know, single sales factors that may not be of general interest. But clearly for the pro-life community, the two most important things are the Woman's Right to Know Act, which now is a 72-hour waiting period plus a lot of required consents, and also, in that vein, cutting off all the tax funding for abortion, and also keeping it out of the federal exchange in North Carolina. There's no abortion coverage for those policies sold under the exchange.
I know over the years, as we've had meetings to discuss pro-life legislation and policies and changes to the law, improvements that can be made, you as a leader have always laid out some very specific guidelines of what we as a group need to be looking at to ensure that we're spending our time most effectively and efficiently. And the number one measure is this going to actually save lives of unborn children? I've heard you say that over and over and over again, and I think with that, the wonderful focus that you have on that. And I think something that our listeners, it's important for them to understand that we can talk about public policy and oftentimes it can seem impersonal and cold and sometimes even theoretical, but it does come down in the end to the lives of these precious unborn children. And that's something that you have really committed much of your career, both in the legal arena and in the legislative arena, to do.
John, there are two different approaches to legislation. One is utopian, that is, I'll present the bills as I, you know, if I were dictator, what the law should be. And those generally go nowhere. The second approach is, what can I do to make things as better as I can? And that can lead, you know, victories beget other victories. Defeats beget other defeats. So just throwing a bill up in the air that gets shot down and defeated negatively impacts the ability of the folks on your side to get something passed the next time. So we always try to propose bills that, number one, can pass. Number two, will be effective in the pro-life area, saving actual human lives, or in the school choice area, getting actual kids in seats in schools where they need to be. And third, that will not be struck down by the courts. Some of the federal courts are very bizarre. So you want to try to structure things in such a way that they actually accomplish your purpose rather than just show off.
And I think you have been uniquely qualified, based on your experience, your education, your background, and your heart, to do just that. I mean, you have really been able to balance the legal aspects and look at the judicial side of things, the legislative side of things as well. What is it reasonable to be able to get passed through the General Assembly, and then work to do that and do it in a very strategic manner? And also, we've got the executive branch out there, too, with the governor and agencies that implement rules and regulations. And if all of those parts of the system are not working favorably and properly, then those good laws can get run over roughshod. And we've seen that in the past. But fortunately, in recent years, we've seen a lot of great gains, especially as it relates to things that you've talked about, sanctity of human life issues, school choice issues, and things of that sort.
John, what I do read in the blogosphere and on the internet is to the effect of, if we don't get our way and if our folks don't stand up and demand that we get our way 100%, they're not doing their job. That is a failure of understanding of civics. We have divided government, and there's pros and cons of divided government. One of the difficulties is you cannot get everything you want done unless you have total control of all houses, of all legislative bodies, all governors, and all courts. And that just isn't the case. We don't have that. So what we have to do is accomplish what we can, when we can, at every opportunity.
Well, very good. And you have been a shining example of exactly how to do that. And as I've mentioned before, you have been a champion in the arenas of sanctity of human life, marriage, religious liberty, school choice, parental rights, responsible government. And you have fought bad policies as well, like government-sponsored gambling. I know we fought side by side against the lottery for years and years, and also most recently efforts to expand Indian gambling in North Carolina and video sweepstakes and those types of things. And
John, that's the news item that never, from the last session, about how close we came to losing those fights, but it never came up because we defeated it behind the scenes. A lot of that was Family Policy Council and other similar groups, but they didn't get a lot of press because we beat them other ways.
Right. Well, and a lot of work in the legislature is done behind the scenes and often very quietly, things that don't necessarily make it into the newspaper, but are as important and sometimes even more important than what you may read about on the front page of the News and Observer, the Charlotte Observer, or other papers across the state. Now, Representative Sam, as I mentioned earlier, you are finishing out the 2016 session this year. What do you hope to accomplish before your time in the General Assembly comes to an end?
Well, I have some odds and ends in criminal law, property law, regulatory reform, but on things that you're particularly, your listeners may be interested in, We need to fix funding for charter schools on school choice. The special needs scholarships are underfunded. We don't need to change the program so much, but they were underfunded. In the pro-life area, there are two initiatives that I'm going to try to get done, but I'm not going to tell that on the radio because if I were spies for the abortion industry, I'd be listening. And then on the religious freedom area, we do need to address that because, you know, this last summer we had this decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that has to be recognized and dealt with so that in the marriage context, so that people who take their faith seriously are not going to be prejudiced and discriminated against.
Well, and that's a huge, huge issue and something that we've talked a lot about on this program. I would be remiss, Representative Stamm, if I didn't give you the opportunity to, in considering the years that you spend in public office and the fact that we're entering yet another election season, to give advice to those who may be considering or who actually are running for office, particularly office in the state legislature. What advice would you give someone who is considering or who is presently running for the state legislature who may not have served before? If you could sit them down and say, look, when you take this office, if you're fortunate enough to be elected, these are things that you need to be aware of and be mindful of.
First, I would say that the newer members over the last few years have been progressively smarter than their seniors. I'm very serious about that. We've gotten really talented people in our freshman class, sophomore class, the candidates running now. That's one thing. Second, I would say that if you're first there, take the lead on subjects that you know something about. In other words, don't just take issues that are ripped from the headlines that entice you and say, I'm going to do something about that. On those, go to people that know something about the subject. Secondly, I would say, in my own situation, all the stars don't have to line up for you to run. If you don't run, you can't win. If you don't win, you can't serve. And just do it.
And do you think, as we just about close out our time, knowing your heart and your deep personal faith, do you think it's important for Christians to step up and to serve in public office?
Absolutely. They'd be the best servants, but on the other hand, I would rather have a well-grounded, moral, non-Christian who understands public policy over a ignorant Christian. In other words, there's nothing about being a Christian that gives you all wisdom and knowing how to vote. But the combination of being a faithful Christian plus studying the issues and understanding public policy is the best combination.
Well, and you represent that extremely well. And unfortunately, with that, Representative Stamm, we are out of time for Family Policy Matters, but I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and the bottom of the heart of the North Carolina Family Policy Council and our supporters across the state for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on Family Policy Matters, to share about your life and your work in the General Assembly, and for the commitment that you have made over years to serve the citizens of the district that you represent in Wake County, but also the citizens of the state as a leader in the North Carolina General Assembly. I speak for many when I say that we are going to miss you greatly after you serve out the remainder of your term in the General Assembly, and are just appreciative of the sacrifices that you and Dottie, your family, have made over the years to be a public servant and a consummate public servant in North Carolina. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, John. And to quote President Obama, even after I leave office in a year, I'll still have a phone and I'll still have a pen.
Well, and we expect to hear from you often and look forward to doing that. So thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.